Amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. What a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 146, the book of Psalm 146. We're going to read 10 verses, the entire psalm here. I believe it's one that is a tremendous blessing. Psalm 146. So if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The book of Psalms in chapter 146, the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man or humanity, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord God. Thank you for, first of all, loving us and for the many opportunities to make available to us just to draw closer to you, especially when it comes to the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, and assembling ourselves together. Thank you for your presence in this place and for what we've already received. But now, Father, as we have opened up the very words that you have preserved for us to learn from, as we focused on this psalm, I pray, God, that you would use it in each and every one of our lives. I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Verse 5. The Bible says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help." Happy is he. Question I'd like for you to ask yourself this morning, and that is, are you happy? Verse 5 is one of 27 references in the Bible in regards to happiness. One of 27 that God has recorded, preserved for us to learn from. Can I tell you, as a pastor, I desire all believers to be happy. You're easier to be around if you're happy. Amen. Especially in the house, in the home. Yeah, I'll say it. If mama's happy, everybody's happy in the home. Happiness. I desire people to be happy because I believe that God desires all people to have access to happiness. He's gives us 27 references to that in his word. I don't know that I know anybody, I can't think of anybody that I've ever met who would say, I don't want it. I don't want to be happy. I don't want happiness in my life. I know of many that have been deceived with this concept of happiness. I know that the devil himself uses the temptation of happiness to draw people to ungodly behavior in an attempt to find it, only to experience a greater sorrow. Now, I've counseled with multitudes of people that have given themselves the okay simply because they're seeking happiness, to do things they would not otherwise do. And then once they have done something that they thought would bring them happiness, only to find that it has increased their sorrows, and they turn back to God. The first thing I want to do as we look at this passage of Scripture in Psalms 146 and see where the Bible says, happy is he. God can't lie. That means God says, this person, if you meet this qualification, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. The God of Jacob is the God of Israel, the God of the Old Testament. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. The God of the Old Testament is the true God. It's not just religion. He is a true God. Amen. And someone that has a true God hath Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy is he. So the first thing I need to understand is biblical happiness. Biblical happiness. In Psalm 146, we find that the first four verses that the psalmist revealed to us before verse 5, he says, you need to praise God. You need to understand who God is and then acknowledge him as God and praise him as God. He goes on to say in verse 2, he says, while I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. So we find this biblical happiness has to be connected to making it a part of our lives to praise the Lord. Then verse 3 and 4, he tells us what not to do if we're going to have this biblical happiness. Put not your trust in princesses, those positions of this world, nor the son in the Son of Man, which is humanity, and the philosophies of what man will tell you is going to bring you happiness. The thoughts that philosophers will try to instill within you that you need to give into in order to be happy. Nor in the Son of Man, humanity, in whom there is no help. He says this, for this humanity, this philosophies of humanity, his breath goeth forth. He's able to speak that to you, but he returneth to the earth. He's going to die. And when he dies in that very day, his thoughts perish too. If you hold on to the words of an eternal God, a true God, he's an eternal God. His words will never perish. And his words are true and faithful. Yeah. Webster's dictionary gives us man's definition of happiness. In Webster's 1828 dictionary, the English language, it states this: the state of being in which desires are gratified by the enjoyment of pleasures. Pleasure seekers. Thinking that seeking pleasures of the flesh is going to bring me happiness. He goes on to say, the agreeable sensation which springs from the enjoyment of something. So happiness, defined by man, is more of a sensation a feeling, an emotional merriment. And I would think that, yeah, so many would say, yeah, that would be a good definition. That's what I would think of when I think of being happy. An emotional merriment, an agreeable sensation which springs from the enjoyment of something, whatever I desire, whatever I want, whatever pleasures I'm looking for. However, biblical happiness, if you study the Bible, it's connected to the joy of the Lord. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, who has a true God. And as you have this true God, you have God, if you will, in you. Let me give you this statement and write it down, or just make a mental note of this statement, because this is the basis for the message this morning. God has made available to every believer the means by which we can experience the joy of happiness on demand. The means I can experience the joy of happiness any time that I truly want to experience the joy of happiness. God's made that available to us. Because happy is he. At any time. Whenever you want it, on demand. Whatever you're going through. Whatever you're faced with. That might not bring you happiness. But in the midst of that, you can have happiness on demand. See, the saved have God's joy dwelling in them. But just because you have God's joy dwelling in you does not guarantee happiness. You might say here this morning, "Preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I'm not happy. I can't remember a time that I actually can say that I was experiencing happiness. It's been so long." What I need to do. Hebrews in chapter 12. Look there with me. Hebrews in chapter 12. See, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That means God is joy. If you have the true God, you have joy in you. When you receive Jesus Christ, he sends the Spirit of God to dwell within you. And within that Spirit of God, you find access to joy. It's within all, every believer. And happiness is, if you will, connected to, biblical happiness is connected to the joy of the Lord. In Hebrews in chapter 12, we have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us this, that we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The feeling of happiness was not there when Jesus was being crucified. But the joy was. The joy that gives access to happiness was there. But while he was on the cross of Calvary, when he was beaten and he was whipped beyond recognition, and he was bloody, and they put a crown of thorns upon his head, and they humiliated him by hanging him out in public, and they come around and they were spitting on him and crucifying him. All through that process, can I tell you, there was not the feeling of happiness, but the joy never left him. Yeah. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, verse 32. At the death of Lazarus, there's a whole lot going on. Jesus waited for Lazarus to die because he knew what he was going to do. When he got there, he was going to resurrect Lazarus to the glory of God. He was going to resurrect Lazarus. He was going to allow all of those to experience not only joy, but the happiness that's associated with the joy. They would not have been happy as Lazarus died. Mary and Martha was not happy that Jesus was not there. They were not happy that he did not come while Lazarus was still alive and thinking that he could have healed him. There was no happiness there in Mary and Martha. And when Jesus came, their lack of faith did not bring to him happiness. Look, if you will, in verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if, questioning his motives, questioning why he would show up after he died and not before. If thou hast been here, my brother had not died. See, in knowing Jesus Christ and having him as her Savior, she had joy available to her. She had the joy, but she was not experiencing happiness. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And the Bible says, Jesus wept. Can I tell you that Jesus was not experiencing happiness, for he was weeping over the lack of faith. He still had the joy because he is joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and he is our strength. He has a joy. If you have the Lord God of Israel as your God, happy are you. You have access to happiness because you have his joy, and biblical happiness is connected to biblical joy. But he was not happy. He was not experiencing happiness when he wept over the circumstances and the situation of the lack of faith of Mary and Martha and those around that were weeping, even though he knew he was going to resurrect Lazarus, but possibly wanted them to have a little greater faith. Wow. There was no happiness when Peter denied Christ three times before the cock crew. There was no happiness in Jesus when he looked upon Peter after Peter denied him the third time and the cock crew. There was no happiness in Peter because of what he had done when he looked into the face of Jesus Christ, even though joy was still present. But there was no happiness. I'm never happy when I hurt. I never say, whoa, well, that felt really good. I'm so happy that I just smashed my thumb. No. My joy never leaves me. But the happiness that is an extension of my joy is not always there. I'm happy when I have to resurrect my body every morning when I get out of bed. I'm thinking, oh, that hurts. Oh, that hurts. Oh, That's not happiness. But I've not lost my joy. I'm not happy when I hear bad news. Bad news does not bring happiness into my life. But it doesn't take away my joy. I'm not happy when I do wrong. When I know that I've failed in my Christian life, when I've submitted to the flesh, when I've said something that I shouldn't have said, when I've done something I shouldn't have done, that doesn't bring me happiness. Romans chapter 14. That's what the Bible reveals to us. Romans in chapter 14. Verse 22. Paul writes, "Have thou faith?" Do you have faith? Do you know what you believe in? Sunday morning, Sunday school. What a powerful message this morning in Sunday school. You establish what you believe. That's your faith. And if it's based upon the Word of God, then you trust in your faith. And you'll find that is a tremendous way to live the Christian life. Amen. Knowing what you believe and then trusting in what you believe, that'll bring you joy. Amen. And it will also give you that access to the happiness that is connected to your joy. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. A right relationship with God. Happy. There's a reference there. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. So when I allow myself to yield to the flesh, when I allow myself to commit a sin, when I allow myself to do something that I know I shouldn't do, I can't be happy then. Even though I still have my joy, I will never lose the joy of the Lord. It's in me if I'm truly saved. But I cannot experience happiness if I am condemning or myself the conviction over things that I'm doing when I know I'm doing wrong. So the world says, no, just give way to it. Just do whatever you feel like doing. Just go toward your lust. Go toward the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Have what you want. And let me tell you that the world tells you that's going to bring you happiness. That's only going to take away, get you farther away from genuine happiness. And it's going to replace it with even greater sorrow. Because that's the truth from the Word of God. Seeking happiness through sin, seeking happiness through pleasures of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, will never bring you happiness. Don't do it. Because happy is he that condemneth not himself in the things which he alloweth. That means you do what you know God wants you to do. And you can have happiness on demand. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. 27 references. I'm just going to reference a few of them. James chapter 5. Verse 10. Take my brethren the prophets, who has spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. These are the prophets that are serving God, but they went through suffering and they went through afflictions. Behold, we count them happy. We look back, and even though they were going through some suffering, they were going through afflictions, they had access to happiness on demand. We count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. What did Job have as he endured all his sufferings and all his losses? In the end, as he endured, he never lost sight of his faith. He never lost sight of the joy of the Lord. And in the end, with everything that God blessed him with, there was happiness. After all, he went through it, and there was a purpose for that, but he never lost his faith, and he stayed focused on God. He was not feeling happy when all of his children died. He did not have the feeling of happiness when he was in so much pain and suffering, but he endured, and he kept the joy of the Lord, and as he kept the joy of the Lord, in the end, he experienced happiness. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says this: he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Because not only do you have the joy of the Lord, because now you're keeping the law and you're pleasing God. And when you're pleasing God, you can have happiness on demand. John 13, 7. Look over there with me. John 13. Everybody follow me this morning. Amen. I'm telling you, this will be a lesson. This is the truth, a biblical truth that can change your life. John chapter 13, verse 17. Jesus was giving them instructions, and he says this: if you know these things, I mean, they're in you. You believe them. It's your faith. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You're doing them, you have access to happiness on demand. Because happy is he. Happy are ye if, underline that if, you do them. So, understanding this biblical happiness, what must I do to be able to experience it on demand? Go back to Psalms chapter 146. You're not praising man. You're not going by man's wisdom. You're not living your life based on the words and the philosophies of man. But you've looked to God. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Hath the God of Jacob for his help. To know that you have placed your trust in the only, one and only, true Creator God. And he's your God. The Bible says back in 144, chapter Psalms 144 and verse 15, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. He's my God. The God who offers grace to help in time of need, he's my God. I know he is my God. And I know who he is, and I know what he offers. I know what he can do, and he can give me the help. And so as I understand that he is my God, I just think about who he is. And when I think about who he is and that he is my God, happiness. Happiness. Because no one can take him from me. After a married couple, they have done everything they can to get that person to come to the altar. Now, once they get married, then the real people, no, not really, but the idea there, they've done whatever they can do to convince that person, you want me as your wife, and you want me as your husband. And when they stand before God and family at the altar, and they look at each other, and they finally say, I do, and I will. Sometimes they get confused. I said, if I ask you, will you say, I will. If I ask you, do you say, I do. It's very simple. But either way, when you finally say those words, I will and I do, you have her. She's mine. We're married. Happy, happy, happy. Too late. You can't renege now. That's right. No, I've got it recorded. I heard by all the church members, Almighty God, everybody else heard you say it. You're mine. Happy, happy, happy. Yeah. Because she's no one else's. I am her only husband. Yeah. When I come to that place, I did all the courting, did all the right things to get her to that moment when she would say, I'm yours. When you stop for just a minute, you realize who God is. And he's opened himself up to you. And you've made him your God. He's your God. Based on you believing and receiving him, you come to that place in your life where you know you needed a Savior. You know you need a relationship with God. And you've done what the Bible says that you must do. He's led you to that place. And now you have received. You've done what he said you must do to have him as your Savior. You've done what you had to do to have him as your Lord, to have him as your God. Now he is your God. And that joy has just manifested itself into happiness. You can have that anytime you want it. As long as you're not doing the things that's going to take away your happiness. Doing the things that's going to bring judgment. Doing the things that's going to bring you sadness. Happy is he. If you do it, as long as you know you're doing what you need to do to maintain that closeness and that fellowship with God, all you have to do is get in your mind and get back to that place when you know he said, I do. I will. And he's your God. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you're faced with, if you can just put all that aside for just a moment or two, just you might have to go back and deal with it later on. You're not going to find happiness in that situation. But in the midst of that, you can step aside from whatever it is, and you can just go back to that truth. He's my God. The God of Jacob is my God. And when you can understand that and you can know he's your God, happiness. On demand. Whenever you want it. Because it'll never change. That which brings out the happiness in you will never change. Yeah. In verse 146, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. And the second part of this is another something else you can do. Whose hope is in the Lord, his God. My hope is in him. You can't put your hope in any greater power. You can't place your hope in anyone more capable. Hope, the assurance that what is needed will be had. Confident expectations. And when you have that hope focused on Him, happiness. Happiness. For that moment, whatever it is, whatever else is going on, if you want happiness on demand, go back and know who you've placed your hope in. Yeah. And the rest of Psalms, it tells you some of the things that He can do. He made heaven and earth. Do you have anything bigger than that? Yeah. Which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoner. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the stranger. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. The Lord shall reign forevermore. No matter what's going on in this life, this is temporal. I'm going to rule and reign with Christ forevermore. That's happiness. I can have that anytime I want to dwell on that. Happiness on demand. You can have it. God's made it available to us. It stems from the joy of the Lord. The presence of God within you. If you have the presence of God in you, that can bring you happiness on demand. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you have it? Don't let the devil blind you to it. Don't let the devil get you going after the feeling of happiness connected to the pleasures of the flesh. You'll never find it there. Genuine happiness is associated, it's connected to the joy of the Lord. Once you have it, you can access it at any moment of time. Getting ready to have an invitation. An invitation is your opportunity to respond to whatever God spoke to you about. If you're here this morning and you don't know that you have Christ living in you, you need to come to this altar and let somebody take a Bible and give you that assurance so that you can know that you can access happiness. Don't put it off any longer. Today's the day. Father, we bow before you. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truths of your word concerning this idea of happiness and understanding what it's related to. And biblical happiness is something that we have a desire and we have a need for, and we can attain it. I pray, God, that this message would sink into the hearts and the minds of all that are here, and it would be a help to them for the rest of their lives. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.